color in your face.
That's your warning. So if you get pissed, it's all your fault.
I am the boy who lives, Harry Potter.
And I'm Eddie Collins.
And I am a magic nigger. That's right. I'm a magic nigger that escaped the magic nigger jail. And now I'm coming after you, Potter. I got no nose. And I look like a reptile.
I'm Justin Brown, guys. What's up?
Some video popcorn. And we're continuing our Harry Potter series, much to Justin chagrin. Justin, what are your thoughts, your immediate thoughts on Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire?
So, all right, I'm going to take off the hood really quick. So my nephew is a big Harry Potter fan.
Okay.
And he actually, he's staying with me for a little bit. And he watched this movie with me. But prior to watching it, he was saying that, like, this is actually one of the most important movies in the series. It was like it sets up a lot of the things that are coming later on in the Harry Potter series. He's like, so you really need to pay attention to this one. And, like, this is actually one of the better films in Harry Potter. And I got to say, this was pretty fucking boring. Okay. Pretty fucking boring. Most of this movie is a lot of exposition. Mm-hmm. And not much of shit actually happening. I mean, they get into some wizardy shit, you know, towards the end. You know, you have this little, you know, competition going on. But for the most part, I don't give a fuck. And, like, I had a hard time keeping my attention. This film was not keeping my attention. I had a hard time just staying focused on this film. And mind you, this was
even with the raised stakes.
Yeah. What's up?
Even with the raised stakes, knowing that Harry is now, like, you know, someone wants to kill this dude so much, they snuck his name into this fucking tournament that he's supposed to be 3 years older to be able to even be eligible for. Like, clearly niggas want him dead.
But here's the thing, Brandon. It all goes back to the shit teachers.
Yes.
The wizard.
Dumbledore is not good in this. He's not
because,
good.
Because, so he's been, you know, phantomly entered into a fucking tournament where he could die. Imminent fucking doom. Like, yeah. There, like, no, I'm sorry, not imminent doom. Like, you know, danger. Yeah, imminent danger. And everyone knows, like, hey, everyone keeps saying, you could die during this thing. You are not prepared. They're just like, well, you must, Harry. No, he doesn't have to do anything. Don't let him compete in this. It's against the fucking rules. And they're just like, well, I mean, I guess if someone wants parts to be in here, he should be in there. Put him in danger, everyone. Put him in danger. And then it's like, Harry, did you write your name in it? He's just like, no, I didn't write my name in there, Dumbledore. I swear I didn't. He's like, well, I'm going to have to make you compete anyways, even though I make the rules and I don't have to do that.
He like, doesn't make the rules. Fuck? The other guy made the rules. The dude with the mustache whose son ends up being like the big bad guy.
Okay, doesn't fucking matter. He should not be in this thing. This whole movie could be avoided by them doing what they were supposed to do, which is teach and protect the fucking kids. And then also, with all of this craziness going on, right? And everything that's happened before this film, this shit happens. And the first thing you're doing is just like, you know what? We're not going to let this happen. This cannot stand because this is obviously someone trying to kill Harry Potter. And he is on our watch because, oh, yeah, I forgot. His parents are dead. He lives with fucking shit people who don't give a fuck about him. So somebody needs to look at this kid and take him in. And just be like, hey, I'm going to protect you. But no, these pathetic piece of shit teachers at Hogwarts are letting him be put in danger time and time and time again. That's this is so stupid and insane.
I mean, Dumbledore, like I said, he's not in good shape in this one. Yeah, because there's that one point where he's sitting down all dejected when he's just like, Harry, there's just something I'm missing in my memories. I was like, yo, he looking real Mitch McConnell right now.
He's just like, hey, something happened. And you don't know. Just pull the memory out of your head.
So the memories are important, though. Being able to do that, that's going to become really, really important over the next few movies.
Yeah,
so okay. You're going to learn a lot of backstory about like key characters and stuff like that. What did you think of Voldemort's return? He finally, you know, goes from being this shriveled up thing to finally being reborn.
You mean when he went from fucking Benjamin Button to the fucking... They threw this nigga in a pot? bubble, toil and trouble. Like, what
that was the some, fuck was going on? That was some voodoo shit. With the
pot. It's like the flesh of a fowler cut off my hand, and the blood of an enemy, and last but not least, the cum of a young child. Like what? The fuck is going on here? They're making soup at Jerry Epstein's house. Like, what the fuck was happening in this thing?
Oh, my God.
Brandon, like, what the fuck did I just watch?
It's good, man. It's good.
But you know what? All right. First of all, a lot of these, like, you know, the competitions and shit like that, mid. Here I am, a 41 now year old man, and using the term mid. I'm not proud of myself for saying that, but I was not impressed. I was not impressed.
What? Why? This is magic, nigga. You gotta be impressed.
No. I was not.
Is it because of the graphics? Because some of them really don't hold up.
No.
Which is surprising.
The graphics. Man. It comes with the fact is like. There was a lot of this. Most of this was exposition. Mm. It was just them sitting around and talking about, you know, oh, such and such and such, Harry Potter. And just saying Potter in just different tones of fucking British and wizard nigga. I just felt like there, like, yeah, this moved the story ahead.
Yeah.
But. I didn't think that it was really in a way that works cinematically. I could see this being much better as a book, because I think the imagination creates a much better movie than actually sitting down and watching this. There's probably far more action more that you can, you know, conjure up in your head than watching this film, because like it's like. Okay, where's the Morgan Freeman nigga? That's, you know, the black dude just gonna come in and just be like, so let me tell you about everything that's happening right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just this like, I was let down by this film because I thought The Prisoner of Azkaban. Prisoner of Azkaban. I'm just like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. It's getting good. So, like, we start. So, this is one. Two, then three, and then four, and like, it started to dip again.
Okay.
Like, I was not impressed. And now I understand if this is a movie that's, and this is a movie that's setting up a lot of shit.
It is setting up important. A lot.
Yeah, so, like, it's important.
The stuff with Voldemort's, like, incredibly important. Like, all that stuff with Voldemort. Yeah. And there's a few other Easter eggs. Like, with the journalist, you know, the Rita Skinner. That whole thing, Skeeter thing, that becomes important. The whole mystery, like, you know, because the kids, no one knows outside of Dumbledore and, like, Mad-Eye Moody and a few people what actually happened with Voldemort, right?
Yeah.
Like, Dumbledore tells the kids afterwards, but there's a lot of rumors going on about, like, who actually killed Cedric and stuff like that going forward. So that also fucks with Harry. There's a lot of stuff. And then, like, the Ron resentment that starts picking back up in later books, you know, like, because Ron's, like, a hater. For like the first half of this movie, because he thinks that Harry sneakily put his name in the fucking thing, even though it's like, yo, like the best fucking wizard would be able to have to do that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I did write down my notes. Like, the adults are very irresponsible in this movie. Like,
in this entire fucking world universe, adults are irresponsible.
Yes, yes. Because I wrote down, so Cedric Diggory goes to the dance with the Asian girl who Harry Potter has a little crush on, right? Mm-hmm. The dude from the Russian boat ice people, he takes Hermione, right?
Mm-hmm, fucking Vlad.
Yeah, so because these two girls just went to a dance with two of the competitors for the Triwizard Tournament, they're put in mortal danger. Where if they don't save them from that underwater task, they were going to drown.
Yeah. So it's funny.
I'd be damned, Justin, real quick. I'd be fucking damned if I get a call from Hogwarts that my daughter died because she went to a dance with a nigga who couldn't save her in an underwater competition task. My daughter had no part, like, she didn't sign up for this. It just happened to be because she went to a dance with a dude. I would burn Hogwarts to the ground, and I would I would spear every administrator at that school and barbecue them over the flames of Hogwarts.
Yes. Yes. Over a magic flame.
Mm-hmm.
So the crazy thing about that part is that it's not the people who entered this contest who were put in danger, of death. It was the people closest to them. So they were just like, you know, this guy in the water, you go. Like, what? That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts. You could die down there. Don't let me die, Harry Potter. And I just hate the fuck the niggas say his whole fucking name. Like, or maybe I've been making that up. But it's like, Harry.
A lot of them do say Harry Potter.
I fucking hate
Especially
it.
Malfoy. He's always like, Potter. Father and I were in the minister's box. I wrote down. I was like, that's a dirty ass line.
Yeah, it sounds like you went to church. You were helping. You were helping the priest send out the good news. But also, that kid looks nuts. And now, obviously, everyone's growing up.
All their hair is insane. Their hair is out of control.
Harry Potter looks like a fucking homeless man with that longer hair. It is not a good look. I know what they were trying to do, but it was an epic fucking failure.
Yeah, he looked the only crazy.
And like, apparently, this is like one of the films that make Robert Pattinson. You know,
this
like,
is his first film.
Twilight. Yeah, that's how you got Twilight.
Yeah.
Now it's funny because like you know watching this and like I could see my nephew was so upset with me that I was not into this shit.
Oh really?
Yeah.
He's like looking over at you like, yeah. And you're like,
and I'm just like, the fuck is this? Like I was killing his fucking childhood.
That's terrible.
I was ripping his heart out. Oh, I raised that child, man.
I mean, Tati was watching this with me. She had never seen it before either. And she did like say when the different schools come into the the Hogwarts Hall and shit, and the girls like, and then the Russian dudes they slamming their wand sticks and shit.
Yeah.
She's like, both of these intros were whack. And then she's like, Hogwarts started singing. She's like, that's a corny ass intro too. Like all these schools suck.
Yeah, yeah, bro. All right.
I did love that Mad-Eye Moody was clearly an alcoholic because Ron's like, what's that dude drinking? He's like, Harry's like, I don't think it's pumpkin juice.
Yeah, and then you have the nigga walking around looking like the Toxic Avenger. I was just like, what the fuck is going on with that guy?
I can't see without any context. Mad-Eye Moody is fucking nuts.
Yo, they should have had this motherfucker walking around shirtless with a fucking leather belt strap going around his shit and holding him together. Like if this motherfucker does not have a sword on his back, I don't know why that he's in this film. Like what is going on?
Yeah, that was pretty.
He looked fucking nuts.
Yeah, he was also a terrible teacher.
Was that
you? Did you just fart?
No, I didn't.
You heard that, right? It was like a weird growl fart thing. It's okay, Justin. Okay. You can tell the listeners.
Yeah, you know, I'm very
you need proud to break win, you know?
I'm very proud of my
Oh, she didn't hear
Brandon. Don't do that.
All right.
Yes. AKA Brandon farted. He's trying to blame it.
I'm like, I'm actually wondering, did I fart? when Mad-Eye Moody threw the chalk at the students, because he's like, you know, he's like, I can see when you're chewing your gum, Mr. La La La. That brought me back to a moment of PTSD I had from high school when a senior Roberts threw a, you know, an eraser at me.
Did you deserve it?
No. I'm just talking.
Of course you did.
I was just talking. He was writing something on the board. I'm talking. It don't matter. I'm still doing my assignment.
Yeah, well, I mean, you should shut the fuck up. Shetty Mathiatis.
What?
I don't know. Mathiatis. I said Mathiatis. See, then I just fucked up the spell, and now somebody's fucking got shut out of their math class if they just they paid credits for.
Also the stuff with Neville Longbottom about his parents being tortured and all that stuff, that goofy kid. So that's going to come into play in the next one. Neville is a pretty important character in the next one.
Yeah.
Like, he's an important character from now to the end, but, like, there's like, more you learn about the next one where you're like, oh, shit, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's funny because, like, well, I think that's the other problem I have with this film is just, like, it just seems like they're forcing a lot of shit. And like, it doesn't feel like, hey, we're revealing this stuff or things are coming to light. Mm. It feels very forced.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that, like, yes, there is a lot of exposition and things, like I said, coming to light in here. But because it feels so forced, it just, like, it kind of turned me off to the film. Because it didn't feel like it had a natural progression. I guess the storytelling wasn't that great.
Okay. Interesting.
Listen, you could hate the fact that I don't like this movie or not, but, like, yeah, I would say that's a fair way to, you know, really break it down on the reasoning why. Because, like, you know, if you're not telling the story right and everything just seems like, well, we have to get in this movie, it's, you know.
I definitely think this would be more successful as a season of television than it was, like, a 2.5-hour movie.
I would say so.
Yeah, I think it's sure.
Funny because my nephew said the same fucking thing. He's like, yeah, when it comes out as a series, it's going to be much better, you know, because they can go. I'm like, you're probably right. But this shit right here, you talking this shit up, this ain't it, my nigga. This ain't it. Yeah. This ain't it for me. It's just like, y'all going to have to show me more. You're going to have to show me more. Y'all 1-for-fucking-3 right now, nigga.
I mean, I literally wrote down my notes. I wrote, Justin's going to have some shit to say about Mad-Eye Moody. It was like,
oh yeah.
There was like certain scenes where I was like, Justin's not gonna be feeling this. I did think that, like,
nigga looked like he should have a trash can on his foot. The trash can on his foot.
I did think in regards to, even though Mad-Eye Moody's not actually the teacher for that semester at Hogwarts and stuff like that, I did think his approach to, like, the defense of the dark arts position, which is like a cursed position, right? To be like, yo, you need to know what these curses are, because there's bad motherfuckers out there. Like, when he's showing them, like, the torture curse and stuff like that, or abacadabra. Mm-hmm. And then I thought that was useful until he, like, creepily turned and was like, only one person survived this curse. And he just looks straight at Harry.
Harry Potter. And then when you find out, it's just like, you know, that the son of the was that guy? He was a police officer, right? He kind of came.
He was like
off
a court
a
guy. Like, yeah, he was like a works at the Ministry of Magic, so he has like some authority there. Because he's the one that ultimately is like, he has to compete.
Yeah,
he's like, it's the rules are the rules, and then that's when he gets called a French tart.
So, his son was the one, like, behind all this shit, and he was helping out.
Voldemort.
So then he got thrown into the fucking prison. But, like, he has this weird tick where he'd be licking his lip. I'm just like, yo, who is this dude right now? This motherfucker looks like LL Cool J circa 1995.
The actor David Tennant improvised the occasional tongue flick, which was later added to Brendan Gleeson's scenes as a clue to the character's substitution of Mad-Eye Moody. So that wasn't initially planned.
Yeah,
he was insane.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with omitting that.
Who just like does that? Like, I love what you look like, Daddy. It's just like, I don't like that.
Something like a phenomenon. They should have had just a whole.
What was that?
They should have just had a whole.
You have a demon trying to get out of you. You sound like the nigga from Men in Black.
They should have just had a whole 2 minute scene of this nigga eating a peach or some shit like that. I don't know. It was just weird. It was just weird. LL Cool J reference.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Harry Potter eating a peach. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, yeah, it's an LL Cool J reference. Oh, okay. But like, because we went off with me looking like a motherfucker, the dude from fucking Men in Black, he kind of got lost.
Okay. Got it. Yo, that was wild though when Dumbledore put his hands on Harry, like, Harry, did you put your name on the thing? I'm like, yo, you can't be touching students like this. I mean, to be fair, Mad Eye Moody did turn Malfoy into a fucking. Oh, that was wild. When he turned him into a weasel or some shit, and then put a ferret, and then put him in the pants of another student, I was like, that is cuckoo bananas in all the lawsuits.
I mean, but then again, at the same time, it would make sense now that you know that this nigga was a motherfucker who licks his lips all the time.
No, that wasn't. You know, oh, yeah. A lip-licking
motherfucker. He's just like, yeah, I'm going to make you a ferret. I'm going to put you in another nigga's pants. Now climb up in his ass. You know what I'm saying? That is some pure sexual deviant shit. Like that, again, that is some shit that would you see happen at a Diddy party. Like that is not something that you would think that a teacher at a wizardy nigga school would be doing. But a nigga who licks his lips just, you know, as a crutch. Oh yeah, he put a weasel in a nigga's pants.
That's so out of pocket. And the only reason we went down that rabbit hole is because the actor chose that. It's not the characters. The character wasn't written that way.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I wrote down Harry's wild. Ron salty as fuck. I wrote that. Oh, Rita Skeeter or whatever. She was mad creepy with Harry. When they were talking one-to-one, she had the little quill writing. You know, the news story. Yeah, she was so creepy. I was like, is she trying to fuck this kid like a fucking blank check? What's happening here?
I mean, but it's also like, even with that, it's like, I didn't get it. I didn't get why we needed that.
Well, you'll find out in the next one, like, because that reporter becomes a problem.
Yeah.
For Harry.
But at the same time, she just showed up. They should have fucking set that up a little bit better. Mm. She just came out of nowhere.
Dude, it's a lot of story,
burst,
man.
She literally just burst in a door. It was almost like Chris Tucker in fucking The Fifth Element. She just like literally just pops in talking to a camera. It's just like, Harry Potter. I don't know. Like, I just... Again, a lot of things in this film felt way too forced for me. Way too forced.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to see. So Goblet of Fire is the third longest book. So there's a lot of book. I think initially they were thinking about splitting it into two movies, and they decided against it. They just put it in one movie. I mean, the only one that gets split into two movies is Deathly Hallows. That's the last one. Yeah, that's part one, part two. But like, it's funny because the next movie we're gonna see is actually the longest book.
Mm.
So like, it'll be interesting to hear your thoughts on like that story because that one has a lot. Like, and I feel bad because now it's getting to a point where you can't believe any of us. Where we're like, it gets better. You're like, all right, nigga, you've been saying that for four movies now.
Well, no, you had me on fucking the Prisoner of Azkaban. Azkaban. But then, like, yeah, this dropped the ball. This just dropped the ball. Like, you know, it had great momentum, and then this one is just like, it just wasn't a coherent, cohesive story that I felt flowed very well.
Okay. What were your thoughts on Moaning Myrtle?
Moaning Myrtle.
The creepy Molly Shannon-esque superstar character in the bathroom when Harry's in the bathtub.
Nigga.
That was really creepy.
So, all right. So, Paula was sitting there watching that part with us. And she was just like, wait, what is this? And then, you know, Kane, my nephew, he's just like, he starts explaining like, oh yeah, so she was the last kid, the muggle who died and yada, yada, yada before Harry Potter showed up. And then she was just like, wait, how old are they supposed to be? This is supposed to be for kids. Like, why is she like sexually assaulting him? I'm like, yo, just fuck the ghost already. Get a little ghouly nut out of you. So then when you want to go and do something, you know, with a live girl, you're ready. You know, you can hold your nut a little longer. I mean, if I was Harry, that's what I would do. Because this moaning Molly, whatever her fucking name was.
Moaning Myrtle.
She's obviously down. So, like, you know, fuck a ghost. Who's she going to tell? Brandon, you tell me you want to fuck a ghost?
No, man.
Hold on.
I'm not going to fuck a ghost. We saw what that could possibly lead to with Casper.
Brandon, listen to me. Let's have a conversation. All right. Let's say. Okay, everything's settled down. Let's say you are 28.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
This is a different timeline. Different things happen in the world, and a certain starlet had passed on. But then, you out in L.A. and you know you're 28. There's no Tati at this point, right?
Okay.
And you're a single man.
Okay.
And you're living at a house. You're writing for Universal.
Okay.
Like you're an actual writer for Universal, and you buy a house, and then the house, seemingly. Is actually haunted by the ghost of Salma Hayek.
Okay.
And she's trying to milk that fucking goo out of you. She's ready. You fucking that ghost?
No.
I know I'm fucking that ghost.
No, man. If I can afford a house in LA, man. I'm not going to fuck a ghost.
Why not?
Because I can afford to fuck something else.
Wait, hold on. So you're telling me you think you're better than Salma Hayek?
Dead Selma Hayek, yes. Mm-mm. Because also remember, ghost, you have to hope that they died of natural causes. Because if we get a ghost like, you know, a fucking Shining where half her head's hanging off her body and shit like that because, you know, she got a gut, that ain't going to be hot for me. You weren't explicit about how the ghost looks.
Okay, none of the weirdo shit. Looks like Selma Hayek. And she could bring herself back to flesh and blood, and she'll give you 6 hours to pound on.
No, because if she could do that, that doesn't make any sense. Brandon. Why would she fuck me?
Because you living in her house, nigga. You sleeping in her bed, and she wants to feel a man again.
So,
guys, you could check out my ghostly sex stories on Jay Brown Did It. On all social media platforms. I'm going to start writing fucking ghost smut. And Brandon's going to be in each and every one of them.
Ugh. I don't like that. I had a question. When Cedric, mm-hmm. when Harry learns about the dragons, right? Because everyone's trying to like make sure this nigga survives. So they're always like giving him hints or putting him in like, you know, a path, mostly Mad-Eye Moody. To like learn what he needs to know in order to survive and get through to the next trial, right? Yeah. I was like, when he's shown the dragons by Hagrid, I'm like, isn't, and other students know about them, like the Weasleys know about them. I'm like, isn't that mad against the rules? Right? I was like, let's say Ron and Harry were cool, and Ron's like, yo, Harry, I saw, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just weird. I was just like, oh, that's a weird thing to get mixed up. But
well, and that's the thing is just like this tournament is supposed to be a real thing, and you know, but like, so much was leaked.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And like, yeah. So many kids were in the know. The characters, like Harry Potter, was so in the know. It was just like, so like, where's the suspense? Because you know, like, there was nothing where he was really truly in danger. Because
yeah, there was.
He was already no, hold on, but he was already set up with, you know, with a way to get out of this thing. You know what
not
I'm saying?
Exactly.
Or to make it a little bit easier.
He knew what the situation he was getting into, but he always had to improvise on the way out. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like with the horntail. He knew he was gonna get a dragon. Then he gets the horntail, and he's like, "Oh shit!" And so he has to improvise with the water. One, he knew he was gonna possibly have to be underwater for an hour, right? So he's like, "How do I do that?" And then that's when they're like, "Madame Moose, Longbottom, tell Harry about the fucking gillyweed or whatever the fuck." Which gillyweed is wild, dude.
Yeah,
making you get gills and fucking you get the webbings and
web
shit.
Feet, yeah, web feet and hands. Yeah, there's just, and you know, you have another nigga shaped look like a shark. I'm just like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
I mean, that's a strategy. Turn your head into a shark. I did write down, don't adults need to sign off on this thing? Like, if your kid's going to be in this, who signed off for Harry?
Yeah, because it's his,
I don't think Sirius Black can legally family. Do it. Oh, maybe, yeah. I think Sirius can, but they don't clarify that until... Oh shit, this might be a book thing. Because in the last movie, there wasn't a trip that he wanted to go on, that Harry wanted to go on, right? Where he couldn't go because he didn't have a guardian, right? I think that's in either the next book or it might have been in this one where, like, Harry, there's a trip that, like, kids could go on for Hogwarts, right? But you need a guardian to sign off on it. And the Dursleys won't do it. And so then he, Sirius, ends up signing it for him. That's a point. It's to go to Hogsmeade and shit. So I think it comes into play in maybe the next movie. Yeah. Next one might make sense. There's some sad stuff that happens in the next one. Yeah, you'll see.
I hurt myself, Dave.
Oh, yeah. I just realized the next one is 5. Yeah, dude. It sucks, man. Harry Potter might be up there with, like, Peter Parker in regards to how much, like, loss he witnesses in his life. Like, Harry is getting rocked in the next few movies. it's going to be rough for Harry. Cedric was, like, the least of his worries. Like, bro, it gets crazy. And it kind of feels like we're in the Harry Potter Goblet of Fire phase of America. Like, where the darkness and the Death Eaters are rising.
Yeah. And there's a lot of exposition happening, but nobody's doing shit.
Yeah. Nobody's got their wands ready to go.
Yeah. When niggas need to die.
I did write down, Hermione, Emma Watson did some weird shit in this movie, acting wise. The way she played Hermione was she came out very naggy in the earlier scenes, and then she gave out this vibe like she wanted to hook up with Harry and Ron at various times. And I was like, that's not how it is in the book, I don't think. I don't remember that. There's a weird vibe.
I feel like that's Hollywood. It's just like, yo, we need to have, you know, we got to get a little bit of horny in this.
I mean, when the girls come in and Ron's checking out their asses and stuff, he's like, bloody hell.
Yeah. Again, It's the level of horny that they have to have anything that has teenagers. It's weird. It's weird because I feel like, well, not even just teenager stuff with teens, but it's like anything where it's like there's a hero. He has to be like, all right, I'm going to save everybody, but I'm also going to get my dick wet at some point. Like, and it's just this weird thing because, like, that's your focus. During, you know, the fight for, you know, freedom, your life, or, you know, whatever. It's just a weird thing, movie trope that we have here in the States.
Yeah, so the school dances, you know, the traditional school dance and shit. What's that? Fly me to hell, baby. You know?
Of course, whatever you say.
You're supposed to yes and me, nigga.
Nah, I don't know what the fuck you were talking about.
You're like, I'm not going down that route.
You ain't taking me down, would you?
Ha-ha! I threw that shit before I walked in the room!
So M. Night Shyamalan was considered directed this movie, but he was offered the chance but turned it down. Thank God for all of us.
We would still be trying to break down to figure out what the fuck this movie was about. It was 2005, 10 years later. No, I'm sorry, 20 years later. They'd be like, so what the hell did he mean in Goblet of Fire?
Apparently this movie set a Guinness World Record as the fastest selling DVD at the time. Interesting.
Okay.
Rosamund Pike declined the role of Rita Skeeter, regretting it later for her career. Interesting. The director, Mike Newell, was the first English director of the Harry Potter series.
Okay.
And then, let's see, there's any...
Which actually kind of makes much sense, because if you watch a bunch of, like, BBC shows,
it's a lot of horny.
But they do a lot of exposition and talking. Yes. We're far more action over here. They be on some site. Well, Governor, tell me this. You know?
I kind of want a little more about that. Tell her what?
No, okay, so it's...
No, finish that scene, man. I want to know what the mystery is.
No, hold on. I'm there's a show. I've watched it in Finland a few times.
Of course. Was it called Nigger Kiss? Like...
No, it'd probably be better. Think of it like a show Luther, but it's like an older woman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like Murder, She Wrote.
She white?
And she's a yes, of course. Okay. She's a detective. She goes around, she solves
things. So it's not like Luther. It's like,
yes.
It's like Luther.
No. She's a detective. She goes and solves crimes and shit like that. But like, it's just a weird thing, because like, it's just a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a lot of talking? And I obviously, she's not, you know, the physical part isn't going to be that, because she's an older woman. Like, you know, like you have a 60-year-old woman, you know, she ain't fucking out there breaking skulls. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, just breaking people down and making them confess. It's just a weird thing that I just noticed on the British shows.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't really know what to do with that.
Yeah,
but thank you for sharing.
I'm putting you on to some shit you don't know about, nigga.
Actress Katie Leung faced racist online attacks after being cast as Cho Chang, and the studio reportedly instructed her to deny the issue. That's fucked up. She being harassed and shit. And that's what the character is. She's Asian. Like, yo.
Wait, so what was the problem?
They're just like, we don't want to see no coloreds. We barely see the black guy, and that's too much. You know what I mean?
Like, there can't be Asians playing Asians in Potter World.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, dude.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah, and then there's more Asians, because remember Ron and Harry ended up going with the Indian girls.
Yeah,
and stuff. Which that just seemed like such a terrible date. I felt so bad. I was like, those poor girls.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you don't know, you don't know what to do yet. And then, because, you know, that one girl, she was just like, hey, you going to ask me to dance? And he's just like, meh. Like,
what are you doing? Well, Ron was just salty, this whole movie. Whether it was being jealous about Harry, or salty because the Victor Krum, his like hero fucking asked Hermione to dance, and she's like, well, I was waiting, and he's like, well, go wait for the fucking Russian dick that you're gonna get, like, you know, it was very weird.
And then she's just like, yeah, I mean, our relationship, me and Crumb, is actually more physical. I mean, physical, it means that he just kind of sits and watches me do my homework. I'm like, what? But she said that again. I was having a hard time paying attention to this film. I was like, she said that. I was just like, wait, what? What did he do? Yeah, bitch, you need to call somebody.
Molly, you in danger, girl.
For real.
Yeah, that applies to Hermione and Harry, because Harry should have been freaking out way more for being 14 and going through this shit. And then the least, I mean, I get it. The least of his problems were trying to ask somebody to the dance. He's like, do you know what kind of shit I'm dealing with, man? They fucking took shit a dragon after me. I barely know 10 spells.
Yo, I got the cup, and these niggas sent me through a goddamn warp to a fucking graveyard. And then a nigga dropped a baby in a cauldron and brought that bitch back to life after he cut his fucking hand off. And then the baby had no fucking nose. And he came at me, bro. And then this nigga's daddy showed up.
Yeah,
all in hoods made it seem it was gonna be a bad day for Harry.
yeah, it was.
And a long day.
It's gonna be rough for Harry. Because Lucius's face when he saw Harry Potter hanging there, he was like, oh, I'm gonna fuck you up.
Yeah.
Be like, he was,
yo, the corners of his mouth were just packed full of froth. He was just ready for it.
Yo, that was wild, dude. I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, Harry's seen and had to deal with so much shit. His rival / friend, Cedric, gets fucking killed immediately.
Yeah.
He said, we need to get back to that poor key. He's like, it's all right, Harry. Take my body back to my dad.
This nigga came out. He was just like, daddy at his bow.
Yeah.
Body, yaddy, 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 yaddy.
I mean, that last competition in the maze and shit, that was wild. That freaked me out. That would freak me out if I had to do that.
Oh, wait, niggas talking about losing their minds?
Yeah, losing their minds. Wait, the fucking
when you turn
the
around,
bushes
the
are closing.
Just running at you like the old nigga from fucking Get Out.
I was just like, I don't like it. The branches are fucking sucking you under and shit. I thought that chick died.
So did I.
Well, she just popped up. I'm like, oh, wait, so you can't die? Like, there's some things that you can die and there's some things you can't? That's fucked up.
Or maybe, like, that's the maze getting you out of there, taking you up out of there.
I guess, yeah. I mean, you get, like, they were getting whacked pretty hard in the head with that shit, so it's possible they could die of other reasons. Fucking your head snaps back and shit.
I mean, just one errant fall and, you know, hey, you met your maker. You sitting up there hanging out with the rest of the fucking Potters. Wait, damn. His parents' name isn't actually, last name isn't Potter.
Yeah, they are.
What is their actual, is it?
Yeah, his last name is Potter, like from his dad.
Okay, because I could have sworn their tombstones were something different.
No, you think about the riddles. That's Voldemort's family. On that gravestone, that's how he knew that they had to get the fuck out of there. And when they used the port key, when they touched the champion cup or whatever, and they zapped to the graveyard. When Harry saw, like, one, he recognized it from his dream, the nightmare he keeps having, but then he saw Riddle, he knew immediately that was Voldemort. He's like, we gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And that's when shit got real.
And then fucking the old fucking, stable keep comes out holding this fucking Benjamin Button baby. It's like, you stay right there, Paul. He looked crazy. He looked crazy. He looked like he stunk, too.
Yes, he did. He very Steve Bannon, but...
He looked like he's fucking stunk. Like he takes off his shoes, and just the odor just hits everybody at the same fucking time. It doesn't start at one side of the room and hits the next. It's just like his shoe comes off and just goes... Everything's engulfed in funk.
So
he looked like he's dirty.
So Harry is able to survive because he and Voldemort's wand clash, and basically the spirits of the people that Voldemort killed with his wand come out. They help Harry briefly so he can grab the port key and then, you know, Cedric's body. And they go to the award ceremony. Everyone's cheering. And then Cedric's dad's like, no, my boy! And I was just like, why is he the only parent that's here?
I've abandoned my boy, my only son. That's the first thing I was thinking about when that scene was happening. It was so nuts. I mean, but at the same time, if you lost your son, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But That was like low key hilarious.
And Harry's just like, no, don't leave him. And then Madame Moody just grabs his kid and is like, come on, come with me. And then
he takes me, Harry. I need to touch your peepee.
It's very creepy, man, because he takes it to a room.
It is.
And then he immediately locks the doors.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. Dumbledore's kind of figured it out at this point. So he's basically doing a bait and switch with Harry at this point. But he's like shook, I think, because he got a dead student on the campus and stuff now, right? But it's like, because he was aware, like with the memory, I think him seeing the memory through Harry's perspective was able to give him some insight about like, oh, that's what I'm missing from like this moment that like reminds me of, you know. And so it was very interesting. And also that that dude ends up dead, which they only talk about for a brief second, that the rule keeper dude who's like, the rules are absolute. He just ends up dead after he sees Mad-Eye Moody do the, you know, lip flick thing. And he's like, only my son does that. And at first I was like, that's so crazy. Like, why would you know that that's your son drinking poly juice or whatever? But then I'm like, oh, yeah, no one does that. So it's like, out of all the tens of thousands of people you've met, only one nigga's ever done. You're like, that's my son. To see two, and it's a nigga with this crazy ass eye. I'm like, yeah. I'll be like, what are the odds?
The Toxic Avenger.
I can't believe you called Brendan Gleeson the Toxic Avenger.
Am I wrong though? Am I wrong?
Yeah, there's some wild acting choices in this.
Hold on. With that being said. And you're saying there's some wild acting choices. There's a bunch of, like, you know, kind of inconsistencies in the story. Now, mind you, I know that I'm the nigga who's pointed all this shit out to you now. Does this kind of change the way you view this movie?
I will say, after our last episode, after the last two episodes that we've done at the Harry Potter movies and beating the Hogwarts Legacy game, I will admit, the adults within this Hogwarts world are the most irresponsible adults in entertainment. They're so irresponsible. They put a lot of fucking pressure on kids. And in the Harry Potter Legacy game, you don't really realize it, but you kill a mad dark wizards. Like, you like getting duels and shit, and then they just poof, and then you're like, oh, okay, I beat them. But then you're like, I'm killing these niggas, aren't I?
Mm-hmm. Them downstairs.
You know what? Like the adults in this wizard world, oh, dude, you're going to lose. Justin's going to lose his shit when he learns everything in the last movie. I think you're going to go on a 45-minute rant about Dumbledore in the last movie.
I'm pretty sure he's up to some fuck shit.
I think you're gonna be furious on Harry's behalf by the last movie. Yeah, I just know it.
I don't even want to watch it anymore.
I mean, I got upset too because I was just like, yo, these adults ain't shit because, you know, Snape keeps talking about the ingredients to make polyjuice are disappearing. He suspects Harry because he thinks because Harry got the gillyweed, he's the one that's been taking his chemicals and the potions and shit. And they learned that the son who's been disguising as Mad-Eye Moody, they finally smell his flask and he's like, polyjuice potion. It's like, you never checked what that was? You legit thought there might be a good percentage chance that that's alcohol? That's fucked up.
You know what I mean? Like, no, he's not stealing spells. He's just an alcoholic. I mean, yo, that's so fucking nuts. If you really think about it. He's just an alcoholic. Harry, he needs help. Don't zap him with your wand. We need to take him to Alcoholics Anonymous. And their voices are really fucking annoying. I couldn't live in the UK and listen to a bunch of kids talk if they speak like this. I would literally take a wand and beat everyone to death because, like, it is atrocious. Having to listen to these fucking teenagers talk, and they all talk the same way. Harry Potter! Like, what is going on?
Yes, before we get to some Letterboxd reviews and some Patriot thoughts, Justin, what is your prediction for the next movie, which is titled Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix?
Okay. So Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Ah, shit. There's no, was it? There's a dude named Phoenix in this, right? No.
No.
No, no, no. You know what? That's fucking, that's fucking Hugh Grant's character in goddamn Paddington. Sorry. His name was Phoenix. All right. The Order of the Phoenix. All right. So I think that somebody is going to rise from the dead. I think there's going to be some people, somebody rising from the dead and fucking, or somebody who's dead giving Harry some sort of fucking insight of what he needs to do. And it's just like, this is what you must do. Hence the Phoenix being arisen, someone risen from the dead and thrown out orders. Maybe I'm completely off, but, you know, what does it fucking matter? Because the movie is going to be what it is. And from what I see, it's going to be packed full of exposition. I'm going to want to fucking fall asleep and just watch something else. Yeah. Just watch something else.
Do you think that things are going to get better or worse for Harry now that Voldemort's full-bodied now?
Well, I mean, I would hope that it gets worse. Just, in the, you know, to make the for the story's sake. It has to get worse. Like, why would it get better than now your fucking mortal enemy... Excuse me. Your mortal family enemy is now fucking walking the streets.
Yeah.
If it starts getting better, then this is truly just fucking dog shit. and I don't want to watch it. I don't watch not another fucking bullshit minute of this fucking J.K. Rowling trash.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I did think it was insane when Harry wrote a letter to Sirius Black and sent it with his owl. I'm like, nigga, your godfather is a fugitive. That's going to get intercepted.
Like, yeah, you don't think that anybody is going to be fucking be like, huh, there's an owl. Follow that owl.
Yeah, that's why Sirius had to pop up in a fireplace. Like, hey, are you alone?
that scene looked weird. That didn't hold up. Him in the fire?
Yeah.
That really did not fucking hold up. He looked fucking nuts.
He did look crazy. You know what else is crazy, folks? Our Patriot thought on Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And remember, folks, when you sign up at patreon.com/mediumpopcorn, you're guaranteed to have your thoughts or reviews of that future movie read on that episode. So Erica wrote, rubs hands like Birdman. I can't wait to hear Justin's take on this movie. The stakes get raised. It starts getting real for Harry and crew. I think this movie gave me PTSD as a child. LOL.
I'm the only PTSD I was getting is one when this motherfucker was going to be over.
Okay. We got some Letterboxd reviews pulled from our producer. First one is from Leah Allison, who wrote, I like that bit where Harry finds a body and it's literally never mentioned again. 3 out of 5 stars. I mean, it's mentioned once, but they don't check on Harry to make sure he's okay after finding the dead body.
Yeah.
Sindhu wrote, the fact that an 18-year-old Crumb was dating a 14-year-old Hermione, yuck. 4 out of 5 stars. Yeah, I remember in high school, seniors dating freshmen was always kind of creepy. Like, you had to be a charming motherfucker. You had to be a charming fucking guy to pull that off.
No, you weren't. You weren't charming at all.
Well, that's what people thought of him. No. This kid I had specifically in my head. Fruits. Hmm?
What, was he a very popular person?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, those people are fucking are part of the problem.
Oh,
because when somebody picks up on a fucking 14-year-old girl, you're 18. You're just like, well, this person's gonna be easy, and it's probably gonna allow me to do wild shit. And then on top of that, you know, statistics say that people who are kind of pedophiles and things like that, they get, you know, part of the reason that they go after younger girls because they're very insecure about their penis size. So probably that dude had a little fucking dick.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Right. You hear that, Craig?
Right. Hey, Craig. Hey, man. We all know you ain't got no dick, son.
Oh, boy.
You ain't got no dick. Not saying you ain't got no dick, mean you ain't got no dick, no good dick.
Angela Figueroa wrote on Letterboxd, we don't talk enough about how Barty Crouch Jr. had to come up with lesson plans and teach dozens of horny, chaotic teens for a full school year as part of a scheme. 3 out of 5 stars. I mean, that was a long con. Yeah, he's like, the Dark Lord will reward me greatly when he knows what I've done. I'm like, I hope so, man. You had to work hard for that.
Well, you know what? But that's also the other thing. This guy's been in prison for how long? Right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you're going to drop him into a school packed full of teens?
Yeah, but he had to control himself. Wild shit. Nobody going to fuck Mad-Eye Moody. Are you kidding me?
I mean, Mad-Eye Moody was sitting there half naked in a fucking hole. Who knows what was going on to him?
Oh, no. Don't tell me we have a Santa Claus Oogie Boogie situation.
I'm just saying, Brandon. All right. I mean, that is not outside the realm of possibility. He was just dropping some cum down.
All right. So Russman wrote, Hogwarts definitely needs a better screening policy for new teachers. 3 out of 5 stars. Trin wrote, only J.K. Rowling would write international wizard schools and only include white people from those countries. 5 out of 5 stars. Yep.
Yeah, of course.
Yep. And then Ava Adora wrote, my favorite part is at the end when Cedric is absolutely fucking dead and Hermione is like, hey, will there ever be a quiet year at Hogwarts? Like, your friend is dead and that's not the way to react, Granger. All right. All right, folks. Well, that's our, various people's takes on Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Justin, break down our rating system, baby.
Stop calling me baby. So, guys, you know how we do if we rate movies bags of popcorn, small, medium, large, and the XL for the exceptional. If a film doesn't if a film doesn't deserve any hot, buttery popcorn laced with fucking, I don't know, slimy toad fucking feet and shit, and the Harry Potter goes tibbity dabba da dabba da over, and then it turns into, I don't know, I'm talking bullshit at this point. We throw it into the stale popcorn pile. We pile piles and piles of stale popcorn on top of it. So, Brandon, we sat down and watched a 2005 fantasy film called Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. What say you, sir?
Yeah, this gets a medium. It's not the best Harry Potter, but there's definitely a lot of stuff that's being set up, I think, effectively in this movie. I think the casting of Ralph Fiennes as Voldemort ends up paying dividends in future films. And you see things getting better from an acting standpoint. Again, this isn't the best one, but it's definitely not the worst out of the four that we've seen so far.
Okay. So if you were to rank, let me get my rating and then we'll, okay. We're going to rank. I'll give it a medium. Okay. I'm going to give this a medium. Like I said, I thought it was boring. I thought there was too much exposition and they didn't give us enough to really keep us engaged. And it was kind of a bit all over the place. And of course, those fucking teachers, I will never forgive them for having to sit through their incompetence. I'll give it a medium because I can see that there's a lot of things that they're setting up. I just wish that they kind of gone about telling that story a little differently.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Well, folks.
So, all right.
Oh,
yeah. I want you to rank these four films. Which is the one that you would just like? Yeah, how would you rank these?
Out of the films, as films. Yeah. Now my favorite film, preference books. For the books. Out of the films, it goes Prisoner of Azkaban, Goblet of Fire, Chamber of Secrets, and Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah, I would say the same.
Yeah, from a filming standpoint, I mean, 3 was just cinematically, it was really cool. This one is very, there's a lot of CGI and a lot of things like that, and a lot of green screen, and it just doesn't hold up very well on a rewatch. Stuff. So there you have it, folks. That's our review of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. As always, you know you can follow the show at Medium P Podcast on all social media platforms. You can follow me at Frodo_Blackins on Instagram and Threads. I have a lot of shows coming up, FrodoBlackins.com. And just how people follow you as well, support the show financially if they choose to do so.
Well, guys, you know, if you'd like to follow me, take yourself over to Patreon. Oh, I'm sorry, not the Patreon. If you'd like to follow me, take yourself over to your social media applications and type in J Brown Did It, because I'm there. I'm ready for you. I'm here to listen. But if you want to follow this show, you want to support this show, you want to make this show one of the top things that you do throughout your day, you need to go over to Patreon, patreon.com/mediumpopcorn. We have $2, $5, $10, and $15 packages. Now, the reason this show could make your day is because we have so many bonus episodes on this show. You could probably listen to this entire show for a week and you'd be good, baby. A week. You got a week of medium
popcorn. Good, baby. Come on, y'all. Mm-hmm. Slap it up, put it down.
And that's why you need to go to patreon.com/mediumpopcorn. Sign up today. Tell your people to sign up today because this shit is fire.
Yep. And if, you know, money's tight, let your
people... it's in a goblet.
Let your people know about the show. Tell them, listen to it on their favorite podcast application. If you really fuck with us and, you know, money's tight, leave us a voicemail at 347-464-8214. Again, that's 347-464-8214. All right. Holla at your boy. Exponiotarionius. Peace.
I wish you did that and just like you turned into something fucking terrible.